But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic.
For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without
hypocrisy.
Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
All right. Well, I'm glad I get to start with a new notebook next time.
You've heard it.
Okay, so if there's bitter envying and strife and envying and all these things, then the disorder, instability, contentiousness, and all of these things are happening. He says, glory not. Don't come across like you're still a wise person, because you're lying against the truth, because the scriptures teach that the wisdom that comes from above is peaceable and gentle and all these other things. So you're lying against yourself. You're deceiving yourself if you think you're wise and yet your lifestyle is involved in all this strife. So he tells them not to lie against the truth there. And so we got three characteristics of false wisdom. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Those are the three characteristics. Earthly, well, earthly is all things that pertain to this life. And it's hard not to, you know, we live in this life. I like that Martin Lloyd-Jones doesn't try to make Christians live so heavenly that they're of no earthly good. You know, you've heard that. Because he points out, yeah, our citizenship is in heaven, but we're also citizens here as well. And we should be good citizens where we live. And we should be interested in the issues and problems of our earthly life, because we do live here and we are here. But on the other hand, you know, we don't want to be so focused upon the things of the earth that we forget that we are a heavenly people as well. Like the book of Ephesians is, I think, 6 times says that we are in heavenly places. Did you realize that book said that many times? Yeah, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So, anyway, if we're only looking to the things of this life, and isn't that pretty much what most people do? They're pretty much just, they're really focused on their life here, and they'll get involved in all kinds of activities and things. They're concerned about their life here. They're very concerned about their education. They're really into politics. A lot of people are really into science and economics and all of those kinds of things. Like I say, which, you know, if we're balanced, right, that's okay. But if that's all we really live for, then we're not wise. That's what it boils down to. Okay. People want, what do people want in this life?
Money.
Money. They do want money because money does what?
Makes you happy.
It gives you happiness. Gives you
the illusion of peace. If I had money, all my problems would be solved. There's no peace.
Yeah.
I can rest.
Yeah. Security.
Security. But it may be he's created bigger problems. Who knows? I don't know. I've never been there. But.
Personal accomplishments are really important to people. You know, whether you're the president or the janitor, you know, somehow people like to be elevated in the position that they're in. They like to have accomplishment. You know, we got certifications for everything nowadays. You know, that was just coming in when I worked. But now I see from Caleb and Logan, you know, they're going back to school to learn more of this technology world. And in that technology world, they're just certifications galore in that. And so besides getting a degree, they'll also get all of these certifications, which they tell me are way more valuable than the college diploma. The certification, that's where it's at nowadays, you know. Yeah. People like to get those. Well, I did too. You know, I liked having all my certifications. And even though I knew it was kind of a joke in a way that other people could do those things just as well as I could. But to the management, they like to say, well, we have a guy who's certified in this. Right. You know, we have a guy who's certified in taking care of our pools, you know. Mm-hmm. He got 100 on the last test. Yeah. So anyway, people want comfort, pleasures. If you have the money, you can have all the pleasures that you want to, right?
Softest linen sheets with the coolest air conditioner. Nicest sitting fan.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, and that's unfortunately, which I think is part of the blindness that they have in this world, because they don't look any further than that. If they can accomplish these kind of goals, where they're really living comfortably, and they go on vacations or whatever they want to do, then they've arrived. Right, but they haven't arrived, have they? Mm-hmm. They're deceived. Well, they have. They're lying against the truth, and they don't have the wisdom from Christ, because they don't have Christ Himself, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yeah, I wrote down some other things. Yeah, if people they've arrived, if they have a good job. And the reason why people go to college is so that they can have a good job. And they want a good job that pays a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And so that all leads to having a new car, being able to buy a house and all this other stuff, right? It all just goes right down the line. They like to have plenty of free time. It's funny how people get involved in things, though, you know. I never thought, and I've said this before, I know, but, you know, people are really getting involved in causes, and they're protesting when anything goes against them. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that was just something that happened in other countries, and I thought that would never happen here in America, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, we don't have a lot of patriotism left in our country, do we? No, it's really fallen badly. You know, you know, Veterans Day is still kind of there, but people are not looked up to like they used to be, right. You know. And yet...
It's quite different, though, in the red states, because, I mean, we lived in North Dakota. Yeah. You live in a more conservative area, and it's a totally different ballgame than...
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm really glad to hear that.
I mean, we're just culture shocked to come out here.
We weren't. We came from California. Yeah.
Yeah.
This stuff is up here too.
Yeah. In some areas of the country, the more rural areas, the more conservative areas, it's still Bible country and yeah.
Better values.
Yeah.
Real values.
Real values.
Things that do count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like Ecclesiastes.
Huh? Yeah. It's also taught to the kids too. All these values.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad to hear that. Because that's what's really lacking in our
some
country.
Areas still left.
Yeah, wow.
So far,
if you can,
I don't know how long it'll last.
If you have a hot tub and a stocking cap, you can still live there.
You can,
yeah.
Yeah. That's
I wish that you, maybe you have taken a picture, but I would like to, that would be a great picture with icicles coming off the stuff.
That would have been funny.
I think I read where they're having a terrible cold spell there right now in North Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Did they have all the roads shut down up there? Is this bad?
Very.
They can have it.
But people, they like to really get involved in a good cause. You know, that's a big deal. But they get so, it's all earthly mindedness. They never get beyond that. And the second characteristic is sensual. Wisdom from below is sensual. Jude makes a comment on that. Chapter 3.
Thank you. Yes.
Verses 17 through 19.
But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit.
Yeah, sensual, having not the Spirit. Well, that's the problem, right? They're sensual because they're only earthly minded, and they don't have the Spirit. And how can you have any thoughts of God, you know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit? So they're really lacking there, as we've read a million times in the second chapter of Corinthians, that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they can only be discerned spiritually. And they don't have the Spirit. So they're sensual. And all their desires are on this world. I like in 1 Corinthians 15 where it talks about the resurrection there. That's the resurrection chapter. But it talks about the first man, Adam, was earthly, it says. And the second man was the Lord from heaven. So there we have the earthly and the heavenly. Mm-hmm. Well, it gets worse, actually. The third characteristic of human wisdom is that it's devilish. And, you know, it's kind of like a wow thing. Wow. You mean these people are following the devil because they don't have the wisdom from above? And yes, that is the answer. You know, Jesus had to tell the Pharisees, who were actually very religious, and they followed all their traditions, and they thought they were following God and all of that. And yet he told them, remember, that they were the children of their father, who was the devil. Of course, that really made them uptight, didn't it? They threw that right back in his face. You're of the devil. And
yikes.
Yeah, back and forth they went. Well, we do have, you know, verses that tell us that before salvation, we're under the power of the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Well, we know that that's the devil, don't we? Yeah. And there are other verses, 2 Timothy, where it says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Peradventure, God will grant people that we're ministering to repentance, to the acknowledgement of the truth, who are taken captive by the devil to do the devil's will. Oh, man, that's pretty strong. Yeah, that's the last verses in 2 Timothy 2. So they're deceived into following the lies of the devil rather than the truths of God. And the results of having that earthly wisdom, devilish wisdom? Well, he says in verse 16, well, where that is, envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Confusion. Well, that word seems to carry the meaning of instability. You know, people are really unstable too, are they not?
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, that's really putting it all, hitting the nail on the head there. Yeah, and they're confused about life. They really don't know what's going on. And, you know, they want happiness, and yet they do things which we would say are madness, right?
And they're so confused that they're easily led down any direction.
They are.
Someone wants to lead them.
Yeah. I mean, even in the, you know, I don't call them necessarily, you know, apostasy church, you know, where you get Kenneth Copeland and Hagin and all these that we were talking about the other day. How can people be so gullible to follow that? How is that possible? You know,
it is pretty astonishing.
Yeah, it is astonishing. I still don't get it, but it's because they don't have Christ, and he's the only one where we have the source of true wisdom. So they're left out. Confusion. Yeah, what a sad, miserable state to be in. Unhappy state. And so it results in every evil work. Boy, that's another really powerful statement there. Wow, this earthly wisdom doesn't do anybody any good. It leads down a path, only goes to destruction and every evil work. John MacArthur, his list says anger, bitterness, resentment, lawsuits, divorce, racial, ethnic, and economic divisions, absence of love, trust, and fellowship. Well, that's evil enough, I guess. That's enough evil. Oh, man. And he concludes that by saying, all the conflicts, crimes, battles, and wars of the world are evidence of the devastation caused by human wisdom. So that's, we don't want to be there, do we? Well, thank God we have the true wisdom here in verses 17 and 18. And James uses the same motivations and characteristics to describe it as he did the false wisdom. And he starts off by saying that it is first pure. And I don't know how it's written in the Greek, but all of the commentators, all of them, agreed that when he says it's first pure, and then he goes on to say the other things, gentle and full of mercy and all the other ones, he said that the foundation of heavenly wisdom is purity. And under purity comes the other things that are in that list. So first of all, and before all other things, the wisdom from above is pure. And of course, purity is, you know, always repeated and mentioned in the scriptures as part of a godly man's character, purity. We always heard the story from our old mentor, Dick York, who had a mentor himself. And whenever they got together in fellowship, they always parted by saying, remember, brother, purity is power.
That's cool.
And I've never forgot that. Just him relating that to me. Yeah, it's a good admonition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because the scriptures have a lot to say about purity. And, you know, John MacArthur, he felt that the book of James was a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. And so here he's relating that that Jesus taught, blessed are the pure in heart, for this is the kingdom of heaven. He says, see, there is following the Sermon on the Mount here again. Yeah, well, we have an author for that, and that's God himself. We already saw that the wisdom of God is found in Christ. And if we have Christ, we have that wisdom. And so without a relationship to Christ, then obviously there can be no wisdom from above. So that's, and we all seek that. I mean, whenever we have prayer requests, many times we ask the Lord for wisdom. Because a lot of times for our prayers, we don't know what God's will is. And so we pray that he would give us wisdom to know how to pray in the situation. Because, like your example is a good one, you know, going into a situation with the family like that. Well, what is it that you really, really need there? You really need wisdom when you go in that situation there. Okay, so that's the motivation for true wisdom, just the opposite of bitter envying and strife. Instead, of it's pure. It's a holy wisdom. And he that has this hope in him, in 1 John, and that is, you know, 11, now we're the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as God is pure.
Gene, you should really work on memorizing scripture.
Man, you know, that was pretty good. I didn't know that was going to come out
wow.
like that.
That was impressive.
Well, I was listening to myself there and going, hey, that's pretty good.
I'm really impressed. That's great.
So the characteristics of true wisdom that follow the purity, not the earthly sensual devilish, but first one that is mentioned is that it's peaceable. And that's also found in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, mm-hmm. for they shall be called the children of God. Mm-hmm. Well, that really does apply to the way in the context that James is presenting true wisdom here as the lifestyle of a Christian. He's a man of peace. He's a peacemaker. Peaceable. Not contentious, as we read about the false wisdom. A peaceable person is not someone who's, you know, looking for debate or conflict in life. You know, there are people who just kind of are listening to be able to debate, you know, or bring about an argument, right? Strive about it.
My brother will even email me to start an argument.
He'll email you what?
To start an argument.
Oh, my gosh.
He calls it a discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a hook in there.
I'm not one of those people. I'm not real fast on my feet in my answers in my mind. You know, I have to think about things. That was a real struggle for me going door to door, you know, and I'd talk to these people and I knew what I should say to them, but I couldn't get it out, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go home. Oh, yeah, that's what I should have said.
Later, yeah.
I think that's a pretty common experience.
Yeah. Yeah. People get uptight too, you know, and Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door and everybody goes like this. Jan runs in the bedroom, you know. I go out there, you know, but they don't think straight when they're all uptight like that. Mm-hmm. They think they're going to have to be defensive and they won't have the answer and all this and that. So I always try to put them on the defensive right off the bat,
yeah.
you know, and then then I can be more at ease and they can be uptight.
I just like ran right from the beginning. I go, I have done this. I just go, you know, you guys are in a false church. You guys are believing in a false Jesus. You're going to go to hell. And they're just like, what? You know, yeah. Right off the, and then, you know, that starts a little, some conversation, but then they take off. I've actually done it. I've done it nicely, but it's like, I just go right for it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm just going to sit there and we're going to go over scripture. But, I did that one time in front of Jenna and she was just like, James. And like, well, it's true though. I mean, I'm not being mean about it. I was just telling them, you know.
Well, the thing is they've learned their little speeches and they know they're going to direct you to, you know, follow what they've learned and they're going to.
Yeah. They have like a protocol. It's like, yeah, exactly. This and that.
And, exactly. And yeah. You knock them off of that. They've really,
they were reeling when I did that. So. But I, again, I wasn't being like mean. I was just like, this is the truth. You know?
Yeah.
No need to beat around left. The bush.
Huh? Yeah, they went away. They left me.
Yeah, they usually leave me when I'm not finished with them. Yeah. Hey, I'm not
got
done.
Got one more.
Okay, because a godly man is evidenced by humility, for one thing. Well, that's all. You know, that's very clear in the scripture. And a humble person is out for the benefit of other people. And he's not out to undermine them and bring conflict in their life and challenge them about everything. We've had people like that, you know. You know when they come to you after you've had a sermon, you know they're coming to correct you about everything, you know. It's like, really? Did you get any good out of this at all? You know? Did you come just to criticize me or what? But some people are not peaceable. Peaceable, well, that means the wisdom from God inclines us to live in peace. And we see, you know, this in throughout the scriptures, you know, that we are to live in peace with each other. We are to, you know, we should have peace within our families, right? To me, I think that's where it really starts. There's real peace in your home. That's a good thing, you know. If there's conflict in the family, boy, that's a hard life right there. But as believers, we should be, you know, Pat's good about encouraging people, and that promotes peace because people are convinced that he is for them. He's not challenging them, examining them, you know, or you know, he's a supportive.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and that's a really good trait. That's the way we should be. I mean, we're supposed to even love our enemies, according to Jesus, right? Okay, so peaceable is a characteristic of being spiritually minded. I thought about David. David had that episode where he was watching Nabal's sheep. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I just read that.
Oh, did you? Well, then you can. Maybe you should relate the story. Yeah. Well, he was, you know, he was there with his men. He was protecting this guy's property and his animals, and then they needed something to eat, that Nabal wouldn't give him anything to eat. And that really, really upset him. So he was going to arm with the swords and go to battle with him.
Must have been really an odious man because it was his own servants that went to Abigail's wife. So he's such a son of this wicked, you know.
He had the reputation. Nabal had a bad reputation.
Must have been a really horrid man.
But his wife was a real sweetheart, Abigail. And the servant said what what they told David, and that David was really mad. And so she got some donkeys and they, you know, filled them with food and went out and intervened as he was coming in with the to kill the men. She stopped him and said, "Now, you know, you're in a rage right now, you know, and you're God's man, and you know, when you become the king again, you know, and you're reigning, you'll be sorry if you do this now, because you'll look back and you'll say, you know, I did that in my own rage and I didn't trust the Lord." And he said, and he really thanked her. Right? Oh, wow. If you hadn't have come here, I would have done this horrible act of killing all these men. Blah, blah, blah. But it was her wisdom that convinced him that he was not doing the right thing.
But he died anyway.
He did. Yeah. Yeah, he was drunk or whatever, wasn't he? And they waited till he got out of his stupor, and then they told him what happened, and he had a heart attack, it sounded like, right?
10 days later is what it sounded
like. Yeah, and he died. And then he took her for his wife.
Ew, that part was not good. Is that where Nathan's from her, isn't he?
From Abigail. I don't know.
Nathan. He was a good son.
Yeah. Well, Abigail was a good lady.
So.
A peace is something that Zechariah prophesied when the Spirit came down on him. You remember in Luke chapter 1, the long prophecy when the Spirit came on him. And one of the things he said was, you know, that peace, Christ would bring peace. And that's what the heavenly multitude also said, right? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Christ promised a peace that wasn't of this world. Peter preached peace in his messages in the book of Acts, that God promised to bring peace through Jesus Christ in his messages. Paul, in the greeting of, I think, every letter that he wrote, grace and peace, yeah. Right?
Very thing everybody's looking for.
Yeah. In every book. And peace, we know, is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Can you say the rest of them? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. Against such there is no law. And when Timothy was instructed to pray for the leaders of the world and so forth, he was to pray that they might have lived peaceably and godly lives in Christ Jesus. That's a good prayer, you know. And when it's time to vote, we we want the right people in there, don't we? So we can live peaceable and godly lives, right? Yeah, we look around the world and we realize how awful it is if that doesn't happen. Church is really persecuted by people who are enemies of the gospel. All right, the next one is gentle. Godly wisdom is gentle. And I wrote down a definition from MacArthur again, meaning fair, moderate, forbearing, courteous, and considerate. A gentle person is humble, patient, submits to dishonor and abuse, mistreatment, and persecution. So, gentle means that you're able to control and forbear when things go against you. People attack you, right? And you can forbear. That's a pretty strong characteristic to be able to control yourself in those situations. Because, man, when we get offended, right? Well, like Proverbs said, it's easier to defeat a a whole city rather than win back a brother who's been offended. You know, it's just, boy. And we all have had those experiences. John Gill says, gentleness makes men moderate, humane, so that they can bear and forbear the infirmities of the weak. They're quick and ready to forgive. They recede from their just right for the sake of peace and love. Boy, we do that a lot, don't we? I mean, when you get in an argument with your wife or whatever, you know you're right, she's wrong. But, you know, for the sake of peace.
When you said, when you're right, she's right. See, yeah, because Jeff's not sitting here. You would have changed the whole thing. That's funny. Oh, Jen and I, we never get in a fight. You guys must not be as stupid.
And for the sake of peace, sometimes it's just easier to just say, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Truce.
We've had times where, for the sake of peace, we just flipped a coin. Yeah.
Just like, that's okay. Funny. That's one way to solve it. I like
yeah.
It.
Well, it's not as easy now because they took away our pennies.
That's a true story. They did.
Readily yield to others. Well, that's what the next one kind of is all about. They're easy to be entreated. Means they're approachable. They're a good listener. People will go to them for counsel and advice because they see that they're a compassionate person. You know, some people just come across as real harsh and strict. I know I was talking with my grandson, Ben, and telling him about how I like to listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he said, I don't listen to him. He looks mean to me. And he does. He has a very strict countenance, yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, he's sweet.
But he's really sweet.
That's just how it looks. I guess I'm really, how it looks.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
I just think they just don't have any pictures of him because they said he had good humor and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, the family members really liked him. The kids.
In videos, he was smiling. I sent
like he liked many kids.
Pictures. They put those on purpose.
what was his era?
He died in the early 80s or late 70s.
So there's clearly video of him.
Yeah, there's video.
Yeah, he's not that old.
Yeah, he's modern more.
Yep.
Well, maybe it's just that, you know, when he's in that mode, you know, he's just, you know, super serious.
Yeah, when he preaches, he's definitely serious then. Full of mercy and good fruits. Again, it gets down to the lifestyle, just the demeanor of a person. The way they always are, you know, like Andrew. Andrew is always happy.
I know.
And somewhat silly, you know.
Somewhat.
We had to stop by there because I had a question on my insurance for Wes. So we stopped there before we came here, and they sat down for dinner. And he had that big Arthur elephant there. And I played like he was tickling me. And you know, Andrew got on a laughing kick. And he could not stop laughing. He was just roaring with laughter. And needless to say, he didn't eat dinner until we left. He was just laughing his head off.
Yeah.
But he's always, you know.
That's the life right there. If I get, if they invent a time machine, I'm going back to his age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
That's just his demeanor. It's we like being around people like that, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. People who care about others, help others in need. They're full of mercy, after all. And again, there we go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall. Yeah. Yes, and full of good fruits. Well, if you live in California, you're full of good fruits.
Used to. Yeah. And that's, yeah.
But if you live in North Dakota.
No.
Of course, impossible. That's funny.
Well, we know what the fruits of the Spirit are. And one of them, of course, is goodness, right? And that's kind of the demeanor. You know, that's Jesus was accused of being good, you know, as if he, you know, as if that was a bad thing, right? He raises Lazarus from the dead. And they go out to take counsel how they can put him to death. I'm like, you know, really?
How dare you raise someone from the dead?
Well, that was really, shows you how awful we are. Without partiality, and of course James went through that pretty well already in this book. Not making distinctions, you know, doesn't, you know, see race or, you know, that kind of thing, right? No partiality. Doesn't care what kind of car you drive or how clean it is, that kind of thing. Remember I told you that guy that I worked with, Dave Wade, he actually judged people on how clean and nice their car was.
How funny.
Because his was always just perfect, you know. That's the way everybody should be.
He must have been a fun one to, for some woman to be married to.
Well, he was single.
Oh, that's what I was working towards.
Yeah, he'd been divorced. Yeah. And without hypocrisy, that's, you know, that's obviously one of the things that Jesus really railed upon, did he not? Was hypocrisy. That was a big one. I put not a mystery person, you know. There's some people, to me, I call them mystery. There's a mystery man there, like my old boss at work. You know, you never knew what this guy would do, ever. There was no consistency in his character or anything, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so he was just a mystery to me. Where does this guy come from, you know?
When you say that, you mean specifically around his behavior, like you don't know what guy you're going to get every day, is that what you mean? Like,
well, he didn't know, you know, you thought you could joke with him, and he'd bite your head off, you know.
I had a boss just like that. Oh, yeah. You never knew what was going
to
happen.
Yeah, you never knew where he was coming from, you know, or how to approach him or anything.
I've had students like that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Did you forget your medication today?
Yeah, I like people who are more open, right? We all like to know where people are coming from. They let you know, you know. You don't wonder about them.
Right.
You know? You're good about that. You know, we know where you're coming from.
Yeah. Right? An old guy with a baby. That's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, there's no hypocrisy about it there. Right? You are what you are. And we like that in people. Yeah. And all of these characteristics of true wisdom are produced by the Holy Spirit. It always comes back to that, right? It's not in our own power to. We can't do these things. We have to. That's why I always say that a really good prayer is to ask the Lord to give you a bigger portion of the Holy Spirit so that we would produce the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, so then he ends there. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those who make peace. And then John MacArthur concludes this whole chapter by saying, James continually emphasizes the necessity of believers to demonstrate their faith in daily living. True believers will manifest God's wisdom in righteous, selfless, and peaceful living. And God has given us the revelation of his wisdom in the scriptures and the Holy Spirit to interpret it. So we'll be on the next chapter.
That's good.